1, beginning at verse 9. So let's stand in honor of God's word, if you would. Paul is writing this letter to a church that he's had dealings with, and he's reminding them of some very important things about who they are and about who God and Jesus is. So open your heart to the word of the Lord this morning. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, or by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. And this is God's word. You can be seated. So this Sunday before Advent is always called Christ the King Sunday. And it's a Sunday each year when we remember that our risen Lord is now ascended into heaven. And he is our Lord, but it's not just personal. God doesn't just exist for us, but he is Lord over the church. Not only here in our local church, but in the entire world. All those who are calling on God's name, living in community and fellowship together, we are under him as our king. We submit to his leadership. And our goal is not to glorify ourselves, but our goal is to glorify him in every way. Because that's how the universe is designed. It's built like a great temple to God's glory. And we are created in God's image and intended to be the symbol of him on earth when we are in right relationship with him and ruling over the creation as he has designed it. Jesus is holy and good, and he created the world, and he wants to redeem this world. Honey, I'm sorry, can you have a seat by your mom? Thanks. He's already getting started in redeeming this world. And those are the things that we sometimes forget about. That God is always working through everything that we see and experience to bring about the restoration of the world and of his glory. Sometimes it's easy to forget, and one day flows into the next and one season into the next. This is a great time of year when we have a little bit less sunlight and we start thinking about things a little bit more and we're inside more than we're used to being. This is a time to be reminding ourselves of the things that are most true. That God is ruling and reigning, that God is working out a plan, and we've always got things to look forward to. So let's figure out what difference this makes in the world. Because that's what Paul is writing about to the church at Colossae. So Paul wanted the Colossians to live worthy lives. Let's just say that together. Paul wanted the Colossians to live worthy lives. simple. He's writing to a church in a city called Colossae, and Paul is reminding them that everything has changed for them, right? When we first come to Christ, that's easy to remember. We know what it was like before. We experience God's forgiveness, His grace, His infilling in our lives, and it's exciting and new and fresh. But as time goes on, we have different muscle memory from before. And if we're not careful, we drift back into older ways of thinking and being in the world. So Paul is saying, remember, everything has changed because of Christ. But maybe now they were starting to forget it. Paul, as he's writing this letter, you can imagine that he's heard about things that are happening in the congregation, and so he's now sitting down and thinking about it. And as he's thinking about this church, he's thinking that they need to be reminded again of how great God is. So perhaps they're getting a little whiny. Perhaps they're getting a little frustrated or just acting like they think it's all about the here and now and the human relationships that we have. And that's understandable. That happens. But as he sits down to write this letter, he has compassion for them. He's remembering them in prayer, right? And giving thanks to God for them. He starts out by saying, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, right? Now, if you can grow up in the church from the time you're small, like I did, I have people say this to me. They walked up to me and said, hey, when your mother announced that you were going to be born, I started praying for you. Isn't that a beautiful thing? To have a church family that cares about you. And they kept praying for me, even when I was a goofy kid, you know, doing the stuff that kids do. People still loved me and cared for me and put up with me. And I'm so thankful for that love and encouragement in the family of God. And Paul's letting them know, if no one else is praying for you, I'm giving thanks for you and praying for you. And he's saying that he's continually asking God to fill them. So maybe they were feeling empty, or they were seeming like they were on empty, because he's asking God to fill them with all of these good things that may have been lacking in their lives. Perhaps they were not the kind of people who were good at waiting. So how many of us here this morning are really good at waiting? You just love extended waiting periods. You don't ever get impatient. If you've been looking forward to something and you turn out, no, it's going to be weeks from now instead, it doesn't bother you at all. You just love it, right? Anybody? Okay, Connie, I'm going to keep my eye out to see if that's true. All right, we'll take you at your word. If you're a Bears fan, I guess you really can say that, can't you? 1985, it's been a while. Well, so he's writing to these people who may need to be encouraged along this line, to be able to be patient, to know that good things and better days are ahead in front of them, and just to be able to endure the way that life goes on. Sometimes I think we also need to be reminded that we are living in the kingdom of God. Now, back in ancient times, I think I've got a slide that says that. Back in ancient times, the concern was that they didn't know, which God you were trying to follow. There were many gods. There was lots of confusing ideology. And so they needed to be reminded, no, live by the one and true God and live worthy lives. But for us, it's just being reminded at all that we do live under the lordship of God, and we are to be living life in His kingdom, because we live in a totally secular type of society. That's not the right slide. There must be a little bit of a tangle up there with the slideshow, but that's okay. For us, the problem is just a little bit different. We just forget that God is present and active and working because we've got almost no reminders around us from what our culture is telling us. Our culture right now seems to be trying to get us to forget about God. God is very rarely named or mentioned in movies, TV shows, and stories. You have to read between the lines to see the spaces where people have a spiritual life at all. It used to be common that you'd see people in church. I remember when our girls were growing up, thankfully there was a TV show on at the time, I think it was called Seventh Heaven, something like that. It was actually about a pastor and his family, so they were glued to that show the first couple of seasons of it. But now we just don't see those things around us, and we forget. And we start to think that it's all about us and us being happy and feeling happy moment to moment. And I think this social media is one of the things that we need to be so careful with, ladies and gentlemen. If you're always on your phone, if you're always looking at Facebook, and if you find yourself getting discouraged and depressed and feeling distant from everything, turn it off and turn it away. Because although social networking can bring us together with others, it also tends to make us feel like we're missing out on everything else that's going on in other people's lives. So let's just put the phones down and get on with living our lives. Amen? Because we're living in the kingdom of God. We're removed by centuries from the events of the Bible, so we may be tendency to look at it as a book of history about things that happened a long time ago. And we may talk about the events of the Bible, and we may learn all about it. We may even memorize it, right? To where we know all about the stories of what God did in these people's lives long ago. But if someone were to ask us what God does in our life today, would we just give them a blank stare? Or would we be able to testify to living in the kingdom of God and knowing that experience on a daily basis? We need to remember that his kingdom is more than just an idea. It's not just a debate point in which we should be arguing with the world. Instead, it should be something we're living. Now I think we want that scripture up there. And let's read this together. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. Let's be reminded of that. That apart from him, we are under the dominion of darkness. And the danger is real. Amen? And some of us know that, and some of us have experienced that in our lives. But Jesus rescued human beings from the dominion of darkness. And that is powerful for us to remember. The cross is not just a piece of art to remind us of someone else's suffering. The cross is there to remind us that Jesus took upon himself all the darkness that the world could dish out, right? I mean, Rome was the perfect military empire. They ruled by force at every hand, and they threw at you what you could not resist. And so whenever anyone was drawing a crowd around them or seemed to be subverting the purposes of the empire, they put him up on a cross and hung him up there until they were dead, and they left him there for days to remind people this is what happens to anyone who tries to think a new thought or live in a different way. And they tried to do that to Jesus. And they did nail him to a cross, but it just didn't go exactly how they thought it would go. Amen? But he took upon himself all of their violence. Some of the most vicious violence ever dished out was by those crucifixion teams. And Jesus took it. Amen? Jesus took it on himself. And he said, is that all you got? Because I'm laying down my life for the sake of those who need to be rescued. And although they were trying to snuff out his life, he allowed himself to suffer. And his suffering was on our behalf, and it secured for us a rescue from their dark domain. Now, Jesus didn't just mow down all of Rome's armies, because that would have just made him another violent overlord like they were, right? That wouldn't have accomplished anything new. Instead, he went totally underneath them and totally above them. And he changed the fundamental nature of what's possible in this world because he took all their darkness upon himself. He was now able to give light to everyone who would humble themselves to confess their sins and follow him. And he proved it by God raising him from the dead. What a glorious day Easter morning was when Jesus rose from the grave with a glorious body. He still had the wounds from the cross, and yet now he was able to do things people couldn't even understand. And yet they could touch him, and he could eat some fish. It was amazing to see the risen Jesus, as it says here in this passage again, reminding us that he was the firstborn of overall creation, but he's also the first one to go through the resurrection, and therefore the guide and the promise for what awaits us. So here's the difference it makes. Life can be different for every member of the Christian community. And that was already true when Paul was penning this letter. And it's still true today. Amen? And it's a durable light that Jesus comes to bring. And that reminds me of something kind of funny that happened yesterday. They had a little trouble with the lights here in the sanctuary. All right, so the ladies were here working on stuff, decorating, working hard. Lights were on. It was helping them to see, right? When the lights are on, you don't stumble over stuff you didn't see in the way, right? When the lights are on, you see the right path to stay on and how to stay right in the middle of it. When the lights are on, you feel comfortable and relaxed. You're not concerned or anxious about what's happening around you. And it helped them to fulfill their purpose for the day, getting things ready for the king, which is what they were doing, right? And that's a nice metaphor for us in thinking about living our lives in the light of the king. But now, when they were done decorating and it was time to go home, they thought they should shut off the lights. But it seemed like that wasn't in God's plan because turning off the lights had no effect. The lights were still on. They couldn't figure out how to get them shut off. And if you ask them later, it's a funny little story how that ended up. But here's the thing. The light that God gives is not easily put out. Amen? And thank God for that. Because sometimes we mess up. And sometimes we get off track a little bit, right? But his light is still there to show us. Sometimes it's guiding us back home. Sometimes it's a quick course correction, where we confess things and get right with God again and keep moving forward. But always his light is shining powerfully into our lives. He brings us from the dominion of darkness and into the kingdom of his light. It empowers living with more insight. And he uses interesting language, Paul does, in describing what's going on with God. Bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, and then being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. Now, how many of you used to have a little more get up and go than you think you've got now? Anyone here? Anyone here need to tap in to all power from his glorious might? Amen? Well, that's what he's offering us in Christ. Even where our bodies fail us in the spirit, we can remain strong and vital. We don't have to lose our way spiritually, even when we can't quite do what we used to do physically. Well, this morning, let's not allow ourselves to fall back into old ways. Let's be persistent about doing those things that Paul wrote to this church that they needed to keep doing. Studying, learning, growing together. Growing in knowledge, growing in the love of God. And it won't lead to good things if we let ourselves fall back. But that's why Paul is writing to this church. So that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. Do you still think about it that way? Do you still say, Lord, I want to please you in every way like you did at the beginning? Or have you let it slip? And you're just worried about the super big stuff that you might do wrong now and losing track of just wanting to please God. Bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened, as I said, with all power, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. What a privilege it is for you to have this glorious inheritance. Amen? Are you lost without it? Yes, you are. And so remember it and treasure it and keep it close in your heart. This morning, Jesus empowers us to kingdom living. Sometimes we learn all these powerful truths about Jesus and it blows our mind and a wave of good feeling rushes over us and then we just move on like we don't know all of that stuff, right? But that's not the purpose for which Paul is writing. He's not just writing to give us a feel-good moment. He's writing to redefine reality for us so we can get on with living lives that look very different from the world around us. Now, the good news is this. We don't have to be perfect and we don't have to have it all figured out. We begin where we are. Amen? So if you have lots of years in with the Lord, well, you can hit the ground running and you can make a lot of progress if you stay in sync with him. If you're just getting started, the terrain is a little rockier, right? You're trying to get back to that firm ground. You're trying to establish new rhythms. It's harder. It's not as easy. But if you keep going, it gets better and better and better. Amen? And so remember that Jesus has gone before us already to pave the way. And we can trust that if we follow his light, that we are getting to the place we're meant to be. And all the resources that he makes available to us moment to moment are beautiful and glorious, and they're enough, ladies and gentlemen. We don't have to worry or fear. We can trust that what's coming in the next moment, God already knows, and he's planning to take care of us. I want to read this last part of the passage to you one more time. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, allowing for science as we know it now, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him, all things hold together. Now, that's a powerful line. In him, all things hold together. We keep getting more and more powerful telescopes, right? Not telescopes, microscopes. And they keep going down and looking smaller and smaller. And we thought the atom was the smallest thing. And then we found all this stuff inside the atoms. And then we thought neutrons were small. And then we found neutrinos. And then we're going down to these smaller and smaller particles, and it's incredible. But if we ever get powerful enough, when we zoom all the way in, you know what we're going to find? Jesus giving us a thumbs up. Because he is the one holding all things together. Amen? He's at the center of it all. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead. So God's just getting started with this resurrection party. So that in everything, he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. And through him to reconcile to himself all things. Can you think of that this morning? It's not just all people, but all things are to be reconciled to God. And that's why he's making all things new. It's beautiful, whether things on earth or things in heaven. And it all happened at the cross by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Now that's as good as it gets. We serve a powerful Lord. And he loves us more than we could even imagine. And he's gone to great lengths to bring amazing, rich blessings into our lives. He came into our dark world at its darkest moment. And that's why we remember the incarnation at this time of year, because it was in the darkest time of the year. It's good to remember that in the darkest period of history, God showed up with the light of Jesus. But he quite literally rescued us. Has he rescued you this morning? Have you allowed him to pull you completely out of the dominion of darkness and into the kingdom of the Son he loves, the kingdom of light? If he hasn't yet, then he's here to rescue you now. The King is offering to rescue you from the dominion of darkness and bring you into his kingdom. And it's real this morning. It means you can live in new ways. It's available now. If you've already made this move, then there's absolutely no reason to go back or to doubt or to think you're missing out on something. So let's live lives worthy of the King. Amen? Let's help each other be our best. Let's avoid the darkness and let's stay in the light always by his grace and with the help of each other, growing in the knowledge of God, strengthened in every way. And next Sunday, Advent begins. As we move into our Behold the King as our theme, we're going to gather at 10 for worship and continue the conversation at 11 in the fellowship hall. Will you just allow yourself to plan now to take that step? I believe it's going to help you to continue growing in grace and give you a chance to minister to others and strengthen them. Growing, strengthened. That's what the word promises us. If we cooperate, God will bring us into the light-infused kingdom of the Son he loves. Amen. So bow your heads this morning. Father, I'm thinking of anyone who's listening or present here this morning who hasn't been brought from the dominion of darkness and into the kingdom of light. If there's anyone here who has a doubt about that, Lord, I pray that you would come next to them right now in this moment and let them to feel that invitation like never before, believing that they can step out of the dominion of darkness and into the kingdom of your light. And I pray that you'll help us to see that where we begin is defining reality, which is admitting that we're broken and we're fallen, confessing our sins, that knowing that we've done wrong and asking you to forgive us. And now not only dealing with our sins, but now committing to follow you, to let you lead our lives as we try to lead and love our family and our neighbors and our friends. And so, Father, as we submit to your leadership and commit to following you, I believe right now you are saving anyone who is trusting in you completely. If that's you this morning, embrace it. Lean into it. Step out of darkness and into light. Accept Jesus and follow him with all that you are. And anyone who's here this morning, they've already taken this step. Maybe they could even say the date, but they're not strengthened with all power this morning. They're not living with patience and with joy in the midst of all that's happening. For those of us who need to be renewed in all of this, remind us of the glory of Jesus and how we can live lives that are pleasing to him in every way. And if we need to make changes or mid-course adjustments this morning, then come with the presence of the Holy Spirit. Make it clear to us. And then by your hand and your power alone, Lord, renew us in this moment as we renew our commitment to following you, as we confess anything that's between us and you, Lord, and as we confess our deep need of you, Lord, moment to moment, as the one not only cleansing and renewing us, but the one strengthening us for life and giving us joy and hope and purpose. And for any of us here who've kept that basic line open, but we haven't been living life large the way you want us to. We haven't been living in a way that can bring others into the kingdom. Would you just open up our minds to see that there's more that we can do in this incredible strength that you provide, and give us courage and excitement and anticipation of a better future, Lord, of living with fullness in the kingdom of the Son you love. We are so grateful for your work in our lives this morning. With everyone's eyes closed, if you did business with God today and either made that step for the first time or you've renewed it now and you want to give thanks to him, would you raise your hand and acknowledge that this morning? Thank you. Thank you. Heavenly Father, would you touch and bless each one who's been renewed by this today? And may we indeed behold the King every moment of our lives, and may he be seen in our lives in the way that we live. In Jesus' powerful name we pray. Amen.